You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah! I made it through. By the skin of my teeth, but I did make it through. I sweated off. You know what? I didn't even think of this until right now, Al.
Yeah.
The sandwich may be a good weight loss plan. Because while it's a fried chicken sandwich, which you would think is not the thing you would eat to try to reduce.
Sure, you don't eat for 24 hours after
you,
that.
You eat two bites of a sandwich and you don't want to look at food again for a day and a half. It's not a bad plan. Just have that bite of sand. Now, and plus,
are you 100% right now? Are you back?
95. I'm close.
I'm still like 70%.
Yeah, I finally ate a little something. I've had half of a bagel today, so we're circling back. It's getting close, but I'll be back tonight. I'll be ready to go have a little dinner tonight, maybe a martini, go just get the weekend started correctly.
Are you still doing you going to Congo Room tonight?
No, it's not. So I truth be told,
I'm going to keep trying to bring in it. Listen, if it's dead, if it's gone, there's nothing there. Just let me know. But it's three times so far that I've tried working that in. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to show up, say, around midnight. And that's usually when it starts to get going. I'm more of like the midnight to 4 a.m. guy. I will be in bed asleep by 10:30, a couple of martinis in my tummy. It'll be glorious. I can't wait to get it done.
You are very familiar with this because when you used to do the post-game show for the Lakers, pre-post, the whole thing, right?
Half.
When you leave the studio,
yeah,
and it's a Friday night or it's a Thursday night or it's a Saturday night game, the way our studio is, the way it's set up in LA Live, even though Congo Room, I don't even know if it's still called Congo Room, no idea. It's all the way on the other side of LA Live, but there's actually a back door that separates – directly into their kitchen and into, or not even into their kitchen, into a hallway.
Yeah,
it's a hallway into the club. So every time I leave, like I start leaving at, you know, you're tired. It's 11:30 at night or whatever the case is, and I open that door to kind of go towards the elevator. I just hear as if it's Times Square and it's New Year's.
It's pretty loud.
What is happening here?
Whatever's happening on the other side of that door ain't for me. Like, if you want to go have a good time, go do your thing. No judgments for me. I'm just knowing that ain't my scene.
I knock.
That's not my
deal
at all.
Like, hey, listen, if somebody opens it, then hey, it's meant to be. I'm supposed to come in.
Guys, can you keep it down in there? I'm trying to do some Lakers talk. Something like that. I don't know. ESPN Radio brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Lakers and Celtics tonight, Al. Good to see Dennis Schroeder again. I know that's not like he didn't have the great Laker career along the way. That it's not like James Worthy is coming back to face the Lakers or something. But he was here for a minute, and it kind of brings up that idea that the Lakers shuffled the deck again. They won the championship, shuffled the deck, didn't work for a variety of reasons. Shuffled the deck again, and right now the best thing we can say about it is that it's a work in progress. You feel like maybe they did it a little quick.
Well, I think it's a fair conversation to have. I'll tell you where I was in the offseason and exactly what I thought, but I'll say this. You have brought up the point of it's not about the names. It's also the fit, and it's also the continuity. Are you giving these players a chance to not have a few months together, but a few years together, right? And if you look at – there's a couple different ways to look at it. The Portland Trailblazers have had the same squad for 37 years, it seems like. It's like, it ain't going to work, guys. You're going to be
– How's Bill Walton playing?
He's been really good, real good. Clyde looks so good. Clyde looks so good right now. But, like, I think there's this, you know, where you could have something had run its course and you knew it ran its course. And then in a weird way, there's also these rosters that, hey, you didn't really give that a chance to marinate. And I think this Lakers roster, you mentioned Dennis Schroeder, we're going to see him for the first time. Kuzma's having a good start to his season in Washington.
Really good.
Montrezl Harrell is playing well. KCP is a great role player for them. Alex Caruso with the Chicago Bulls.
Sure.
You can look at that team's roster last season, and you could make a case. Hey, why didn't you guys bring that team back? You know what? Give them another year of continuity. Lakers didn't lose to the Phoenix Suns because Phoenix was better. You lost to the Suns because Anthony Davis got injured. You could make that case. I wasn't on that boat. I was on the, wait a minute, you guys see what Brooklyn has over there? They got Kyrie, they got James Harden, they got Kevin Durant. A lot has changed since then, but I was, you need more veterans, and you need to go get another superstar. Now, you can argue who that superstar, the right one, was going to be, or you could go with the argument that you've been saying, you know, from the beginning, I don't think you needed another superstar. I just think you needed a better fit of players. Either way, however you look at it, you're watching, it's inconclusive, right? It's, we don't have, I don't know if this is going to work or if it's not, but you're playing against one of those players today or tonight that was obviously part of your roster last season.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to split it in half, right? Like, I did not like the mix that they had last year. It did not feel like a super cohesive group of guys. And there were some extenuating circumstances, to be sure, because AD was hurt for a while, LeBron was hurt for a while, and the guys that were there were playing real hard, but it just they weren't able to kind of figure out a way to be really successful while those guys were down. They were okay. They weren't terrible, but they were just kind of okay. And I hear what you're saying, that Brooklyn goes out and adds all these pieces, and it's this three-headed monster of superstars, and you're trying to get on their level. I understand. But I don't think that you had to go, okay, who's a huge name that we can bring in? Ah, Russell Westbrook's a huge name that we can bring in. We can do that. Because I looked, I'm like, well, I get it. He's a great player. He's a former MVP. He still puts up really good numbers. But what he brings to this team, does the team need it? And I still don't think they do. And I still don't think that it's worked out great. Time will tell. I'm willing to be wrong. I hope that I'm wrong. But you look at the pieces that they have right now, doesn't fit great. Right, and you wonder if another year, like Caruso would have fit perfectly. Kuzma, sure. I think, is an interesting one. I think Kuz, it's probably time for him to move on to somewhere else. If you
couldn't agree more, let them both let him go, kind of further his career on his own, and let the Lakers move on from that.
KCP is an interesting one because I liked him. I thought he, look, is he a great NBA player? No. Is he a valuable NBA player? Yeah, he is. He makes shots. He defends. He competes. He is a guy that I wanted the Lakers to keep. He felt like somebody that knew his role really well, was willing to accept that role willfully, and just fit into the plan of a team, a collective team, not a, okay, when do I get my shots? Okay, when do I get my starts? When do I get my minutes? When he didn't, that wasn't his lane. I think they miss guys, clearly Caruso, and a guy like KCP, and then maybe changing out some of the other pieces. And I know Buddy Hield's name was floated around a lot during the offseason, that maybe there was an opportunity to make a deal there. But I didn't feel that they needed to match stars. I felt that they needed to improve the squad, the team, and so far I haven't seen that.
Lakers were certainly going big game hunting, right? That was the concept and the idea in the summer. Can we turn around some of these players and go get another all-star? Okay, so this is a position that they're in. Sitting at 8-8 on the season. LeBron is a game time decision tonight, so we'll find out whether he plays against the Celtics. Put it this way, he's close enough to where this is the conversation now. Is he playing tonight? So if he doesn't play tonight, then maybe Detroit, maybe New York, but you feel like at some point of this road trip, LeBron's going to be part in the mix. They're 4-6 without him. I thought they played a pretty good game against the Milwaukee Bucks on Wednesday. I really do. Like, I genuinely think the Lakers played a good game. They lost the game, but when they went down 12, it wasn't, okay, now it's 15, now it's 18. Before you know it, Lakers are down 20-plus points. It was they're down 12, they cut it to 8, then they cut it to 4. Giannis hits a couple of shots, goes back up to 8. I thought Lakers were competitive in that game. Can't lose against Boston tonight. Can they? They can. But when I say they can't, this is what I'm referring to. Put aside the rivalry. Put aside that there's Beat LA. I don't know if those were shirts or something on all the seats there, that Boston's going to take this one a little bit. Put all that to the side. They're not that good of a team. They're not. Jalen Brown has missed.
Yeah, but neither are the Lakers, Al.
Jalen Brown has missed the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, look, the crew that they have, I should not be giving them the benefit of the doubt. But, Trav, Lakers are going to walk into Boston tonight, and they're going to get a W.
Let's go back to LeBron for a sec, because I think you bring up a really interesting point.
Appreciate
that. They need Thanks him again. Back, obviously, right? We don't even need to go to the reasons they need him back. They obviously, they need LeBron back. They need to start the process of getting these pieces to fit. Right. Mm-hmm. Or coming to the conclusion that they don't and change up the pieces. Right. That you need one of those two things needs to happen. Sand off the rough edges and get the pieces to work together. Or, hey, you got to go. You got to go. And you got to go. We're going to bring in different guys. Those are the two options there. The other option, though, is how, look, I mean, let me do the math for me real quick. They've played 16 games. LeBron's missed 10. Is that what it is?
He's missed 10 games so far, 4-6 without him.
Okay, so he's missed 10 of 16 games, which means that injury is not just a little something. It's an injury, right? It's a real one if you've missed that amount of time. They have to have him. They have to start the process. But you also have to be incredibly cautious about his health moving forward because he's in his 19th season. He's 36 years old. He's played, you know, what have we talked about? You know, 3 extra seasons of intense playoff basketball throughout his career on top of all of that. They're in a weird spot where you have, at some point, you have to start to try to go to see what it looks like. But at the same time, you have to be overly cautious about LeBron's health. They're in a weird spot.
So, I don't think it's as weird as you think. I think they, last year, they almost, they didn't have the luxury of, well, we still have, I don't know, 60 games left or something along those lines. It was, okay, remember LeBron came back and then thought he came back too early and then went back on, you know, the on the injured list and really they waited till like that last weekend where they started using LeBron again. He was never 100% and that was that's it. The season was over. Neither Anthony was Davis AD. Got injured. I think this year, listen, if you told them the one part that I think has been frustrating so far this year, AD and Russ couldn't hold down the fort. They couldn't, right? So, and that goes to your point. They couldn't. I thought, well, of course they're going to hold the fort. Look at the schedule that they got. Look at the they're playing at Staples Center against teams that they're going to hold the fort against these teams. It's not like they have to go at Golden State, at Denver, at Utah, at Phoenix. No, those games, that's fine. If you're going to lose those, because, you know, I think we realize that Anthony Davis in a big-time game against the Milwaukee Bucks, no, he's going to be 18-10 for you rather than what Giannis was dropping, the 47-plus that he dropped on Anthony Davis and the Lakers. I think that as you weigh all this out, they know that they have to hold on to LeBron and wait till he's fully healthy because it's not like other guys are going to do it, number one. And number two, they're that dependent on him that maybe they just value the regular season less if LeBron James isn't healthy.
All right, we got some phone calls that we want to get to coming up in just a little bit. Plus, 17 years ago today, Al, that one of the darkest moments in American sports history took place. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Perk has on my jacket, guys. Kendrick Perkins is on the NBA show right now on ESPN, and he's got the jacket that I want. Very bold blue, kind of a old school sports coat pattern on it right there. That's what I'm looking for. Somebody's got to hook me up with that.
You were on a mission for it. I feel
I still
like the
want
mission
it.
Stopped.
Yeah, no, it hasn't stopped. I just haven't found what I want yet. I want something Rams colors, right? I want something that's got some blue in it. I want something that's got a little yellow in it, maybe a little gold along the way, because I could wear it to Rams games and feel like I'm a boss. And I could also just kind of wear it around town, and it would still look good because I like blue. See how
it works
out
like
that?
I'd love for you to come to a Laker game and you see Kendrick Perkins. That's the only question you have. Hey, your jacket last week on Friday.
How good does that jacket look?
I haven't seen it. So.
It looks fantastic. I by the way, that's the best reason I'm gonna go when they're doing like the live show at Staples Center. I'm gonna go and hey, Perk, Travis Rogers, nice to meet you. I need to know where you got that jacket. Jacket probably costs more than my car, but that's a whole nother dynamic for another day. Travis Lee's brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. 17 years ago, Al, the Mouse at the Palace.
Yep.
17 years ago, and this is what it sounded like on TV. You can listen. I mean, you literally hear people screaming in that audio right there. You can hear how afraid everybody was, how scary of a situation that was. And I know Netflix had that documentary that came out not that long ago, kind of revisiting the situation there. But I mean, it's been nearly 20 years, and that feels like it happened 10 minutes ago. That still feels incredibly raw.
By the way, encourage, if you have not get a chance, it's called Untold. That's mm-hmm. the one on Netflix. Really, really unique way, because I don't know about you, Trav. I'll go back, and, you know, when you play that clip, and I go back, I knew where I was. I knew what I was doing. You know, it was a ESPN game, and it's one of those, like you mentioned, it's – yeah, one of the black eyes of sports. It's not something you ever want to talk about. It's something you never want to see happen in sports, but it happened. I thought the documentary they did on Netflix, man, did we get a different perspective on it? It's like, okay, wait, so you actually get to hear from the players. You actually get to hear, okay, how did it get to that point? What did security look like inside the stadium? Those that were kind of made out to be the Jermaine O'Neals of the world, the Meta World Peace, Ron
Steven
Artest,
Jackson.
They got to tell their side of the story, and all of a sudden now you're sympathizing more with them. Oh, okay, I never even looked at it from that perspective. I thought that was a fantastic documentary to help kind of tell the story. But to say 17 years ago that's when it was, it's easy to look back. I've done this before. Just go on YouTube and just randomly, you know, that comes up as one of the videos. I go back and watch that. I mean, it's
crazy.
You still kind of get the same feeling that you had back then. That's
what
scary.
I think it's unsettling because you don't know what's going to happen. It kept getting worse. It kept getting worse, and it kept getting worse. And, you know, finally they got the players off the court and into the locker room. But I think you bring up a great point about the documentary on Netflix about it, because, you know, with the benefit of, you know, 15 plus years after the fact, and you hear Jermaine O'Neal tell what he was going through in the moment, you're like, you know what? I'm with Jermaine O'Neal on a lot of this stuff. I feel a lot better about him in that situation than I did prior. Steven Jackson went from a guy that I already liked, because Steven Jackson's the most real guy in the world, to I love Steven Jackson, because he's like, no, one of my brothers was up there. I'm going in there with him. I don't care what happens. I'm going in. I mean, we all want a guy like that in our life, right? That, hey, look, even if you're doing the dumbest thing in the world, I'm with you to make sure that you get out of there, right? You want a guy like Steven Jackson in your life. I felt terrible for Reggie Miller. I've never felt sorry for Reggie Miller one day in my life, right? Reggie Miller, I'm not a Reggie Miller guy.
Yeah.
And then you watch that, and you're like, damn, Reggie got screwed. You know, Reggie was on the best team in the league. He had his best chance to win an NBA championship, and that thing went up in smoke because of what happened. The one guy that – and I like Meta. Meta's an interesting guy, but Meta, I thought kind of – I felt about the same as I did with Meta before as I did after. That he – every opportunity to do the wrong thing, he did. And it was before, during, and after, that he never made it right with his teammates, that he lit the match on that whole thing. And then as far as the fans go, I thought the fans were equally responsible with it as the players in the moment.
Of course, and
still do. They took that to a whole nother. Dude, can you imagine going down on the floor? You're at Staples Center. You're watching the Lakers play a basketball game.
Yep.
And all of a sudden it gets weird, and there's a fight on the floor, and it spills into and your first reaction is, I'm going to go down there and square up with an
with
NBA
Jermaine
player.
O'Neal.
Yeah, that's an insane move.
How about Jermaine slipping, and he talks about, if I didn't slip and I landed that punch, bro, let's just say whoever the hell spilt their beer or whatever happened, I'm glad that happened that way.
Yeah, absolutely. That guy got very, very lucky. I want to go back to something you said a minute ago about, we were talking about Ohtani, and you said that Rob Manfred came out and was, you know, he was talking, we've got about another, was it December 1st? So what's today? The 19th? We've got 11 days left, right? We've got 11 days until the collective bargaining agreement expires. So you're going to see some players sign. We've seen a handful of guys go new places, but collective bargaining agreement's going to expire. Everything's going to shut down. And then as we get closer to spring training, we might get a lockout. We might get, you know, a work stoppage of some sort. And he's already positioning, well, you know, I've been in this a long time, and I know how this works, and blah, 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 blah. Can we just cut to the chase? The reason that this stuff makes me roll my eyes the way that it does is because I already know how this is going to play out. That they're going to, both sides started posturing during the lock or the pandemic, right? Both sides already started with the CBA is coming up, and I'm going to already let you know how this is going to go by saying no to all of these things. Here's how it's going to go. The players will get what they want. Done. Do you know how I know that? Because that's how it always goes. Since free agency has been introduced into Major League Baseball, since Marvin Miller went from the era where the owners had all the juice and all the control over the players, and then the players got a little bit of freedom. They were able to start moving around. Free agency came to it. Kurt Flood kind of started this whole thing a million years ago to where we had the Major League Baseball Players Union that had some real juice. They never lose. They always get what they want. They don't break ranks. They don't have guys say, hey, look, I got to go make a living. I'm going to go back and do this. So why would I think that anything's going to be different? The players are going to want X. The owners are going to ask for Y. And X is going to be the result. Sorry, why would I ever compromise if I know that the guy I'm negotiating with always gives in? Why would I do that?
I want to tell a little backstory here, because when we're doing our prep, you know, this gets brought up as, hey, what do you guys think about having a conversation about this? And you're like, no, there's nothing there. I'm like, Trev, I think there's something there. I mean, what if they don't? You know, what if things don't go as planned? What if they miss some baseball games? You know what it made me think of? You know what it made me think of? It made me think of, so when COVID first started, baseball was in an interesting position because all the games were being, you know, obviously NBA stopped, and now they're thinking, hey, do we go in this Orlando bubble? The NFL was, hey, this is far out enough. We think we can figure this thing out. Mm-hmm. Baseball was in the most unique position because they actually had some control of the situation. The situation was all the players and the owners have to do is agree to how many games you're going to play, what kind of the structure of the season is going to look like. All you really have to do is just be on the same page to really take advantage. Do you remember everybody saying how cool would it be that on 4th, I think this was, if I'm right here, on 4th of July, baseball starts. They're the first one out the gate, right? Mm-hmm. They play X amount of games. All they have to do is just agree to terms on this. And at that time, I was doing shows every single night. Remember, I was doing my show, and it was 5 days a week. I think that's for the first time I was like, wow, is it really that dysfunctional? There's never been a better setup for baseball to be the first sport back, to figure out how many games it's going to be, to figure out who's going to get what percentage. So but you're crazy. The first one out of the gate, and they just kind care. Of the they didn't care. They didn't care.
Screw it. I don't want the DH. I don't want to play 50 games.
And it's America's game, and it's going to start on 4th of July. Like, there were all these unbelievable storylines. I'm like, wow, this is going to look so good for baseball. And it was like, nope, still not going. Still not going. Still not going. Every freaking night, I'm like, damn. I guess I just didn't realize how idiotic baseball is when it comes to just kind of not just the structure. I don't mind at all that the players obviously have the juice that they have.
Yeah.
But then when we brought this up today and you're like, hey, Al, I already know how this story is going to end. I guess It makes a little bit more sense now.
Yeah, and then look, they may miss some games. They may not. They're both going to posture and say that the other guy is trying to stick it to them.
Sure.
And not a single fan will care. Who do I pick? The billionaire that owns the team or the guy that's making $25 million a year? Whose side are you on in a labor dispute? Nobody's. I'm on nobody's side. Okay, just let me know when the games will start, and I'll come back. And you're right that when they started, you know, sniping at each other during the lockout or during the pandemic, it was like, I've seen this movie before. The problem is baseball's had labor peace since 1995, right? Mm-hmm. The 94 thing was a catastrophe. They canceled the season. There was no World Series. People were very angry with baseball. Not a ton of people came back when they started. And to everybody's credit, I guess, they said, hey, we can't do this again for a while. We need to chill out, right? So since 1995, here we are going into 2022 here in a couple of months. It's been pretty quiet. There really hasn't been any of this. We're talking the better part of 30 years of labor peace, but they're going to go do it again because that's what they do.
You're doing it again. Hour three, what are you doing?
What do you mean?
Oh, you were leaning back right there. You were chilling in hour three. Yeah, we talked about that.
I did.
Am I right or wrong? Bergman's his observation of hour three, Trav, much different than hour one. You're back. I almost thought you were laying down for a second.
that doesn't sound bad at all. All right, we got some Laker calls that we'll get to in just a second. Plus, Lakers and Celtics tonight at the Garden in Boston. And I still want to get over this Larry Bird thing that I've been carrying around.
Oh, we got some iconic Chick Hearn calls as well that we're going to play.
Love it. That's next. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. And now I'm going to be sincere here for a second.
Okay.
I'm super, super proud of the fact that our listeners went out and sold the 710 Mandy Awards out as quickly as they did. That is just so cool that an idea that is a brand new idea. We haven't done that before here, right? Mm-hmm. This is a new thing, and a ton of credit to Chris for kind of spearheading this thing. That they stepped up and bought those tickets up in 2 days and change, because really they're basically sold out by the time John and Steve came on the air after us. That we got the email from Tommy about a half hour into their show that they were gone. So it's like 2 days and some change, and we sold all of those tickets. I couldn't be more proud of the listeners. I couldn't be more excited to do this thing coming up on February 6th. So just congratulations to everybody, and a big fat thank you from me for doing what you did. It was awesome.
Yeah, not impressed, to be honest with you. I mean, the fact that it took as long as it did, a little surprised by our listeners. No, I'm just kidding. it will also be a cool event. I think that's the great part about it is first time we've ever done it. I thought the idea and the concept is unique. We're going to have a good time. And by the way, if you did not get a chance to purchase a ticket, just stay tuned. We'll figure it out. I know the station will find ways to give away some tickets, so don't lose all faith on that part yet.
Don't lose all faith, but I'm just saying, when Al and I tell you to go buy something because they're on limited supplies, you might want
to
listen.
Trying to help.
It wasn't a sales job. It was the truth. It was, hey, we only got a few of these left. If you want them, you better buy them right now. All
okay,
right,
so
LeBron, tonight?
You sent, real quick here, sent a photo to myself, to Emily, and to Taylor.
Yeah.
Kendrick Perkins is doing his, I don't know, I think it's NBA Today, the show.
Uh-huh.
So you've been making a claim here for a while. You want when do you want to wear this jacket? Like, give me the idea, the concept.
Well, honestly, I would wear it a lot. Like, I would wear it to dinner. I would wear it to like Rams games, for instance. Mm-hmm. If I went and took in a Laker game one night, I'd throw it on for that. Like, I, you know, a night out.
And it's very summery. I think it's very.
It is.
Very pastel.
That's a good point. It is a little summer, but it's L.A. Right? Is it never really winter here? You can kind of pull off a summer thing at any point, but not like dressy like a suit, but just you want to look nice going out.
Well, here's
I feel
the
like
thing.
That could be it.
I think as far as the, you know, what season to wear that in, I'm pretty confident Travis is not walking into his local Nordstrom rack and saying, hey, what's in season right now? So I'm not that concerned about that. I think, look, this is what you should do. First of all, do I think you could pull off that jacket that Kendrick Perkins has on right now? Of course I do. No question about it. I don't doubt that for a second. But this is what I think you should do. I think you should throw this up on Twitter, ask listeners, hey, what do you think?
Great idea.
Can I rock this jacket, number one? And number two, tag at Kendrick Perkins or whatever his Twitter is and just say, hey, just would appreciate you kind of fill me in here. Where'd you get this from?
That's a really good idea.
So now you have an idea.
Give me the female perspective. Can I pull that off?
Yes. I think that, again, I picture it more like in the, you know, you're going to a beach restaurant than I do just walking around normally, but I think you can pull it off for sure.
So that actually, now I kind of want to go to a beach restaurant so I could wear it there. That sounds like a really good idea.
I think you could wear it up in the mountains in January, okay?
On a hike.
When you and I go camping together, you're going to be wearing that jacket.
You know what, like, Emily, it's funny because Emily is new to Southern California, Los Angeles. You are an East Coast native. You grew up in the Virginia area. My in-laws are from that part of the country as well. So my mother-in-law in particular like has all those rules. Like, oh, you can't wear that. It's the summer. Like you can't wear white after Labor Day. You can only drink gin between Memorial Day and Labor Day. That those are the summer. That then you have to switch to bourbon or something else.
Because we have seasons, yes.
Right. That there are all these rules. You can't wear white shoes between this. I like it better here. I can just do whatever I want whenever I want.
But that feels the suit like a does deal. Look very Southern. It looks very much like I could see that at a Southern football game.
I wish
Seersucker.
You would have said
that. Yeah, that's
but
more
it's not
racy.
Seersucker. Like, Seersucker is a hard pass.
Yeah, it's not Seersucker specifically, but I could see it. It could be Seersucker eventually.
We'll see. I like the idea, but I'll put it up on Twitter and see what people say about it. LeBron plays tonight, right?
Yep.
Say yes. I want to see LeBron play.
So, game time decision. We're not 100% sure yet. We'll probably know. We're going to know either at 3 p.m. when coach talks to the media before the, obviously before the game, or he's just going to say true game time decision will tell you until we have to, which would be half hour before tip off. I mean, it would be great to see him come back, especially because it's the Celtics, but the reality is, Trav, and I know you know this, they can't, there's no, you got to be so smart with LeBron. You just have to be so incredibly, and I know the Lakers, that's how they're going to be, and it's going to be LeBron James telling the Lakers, hey, my body's good or it's not, so it's going to be his decision. But it would be pretty cool to see him come back. Lakers are 4-6 without him. Do you really want to start this road trip off 0-2 with three games left to go? Of course you don't. Now, look, from a big picture perspective, the world's not going to end whether he's there or not tonight. But I do think that just kind of seeing that the way the Lakers have played without him, the fact that you are not guaranteed a win in any game that Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, and some of these role players are a part of, I think kind of add all that together, it'd be fantastic to have him come back. But I said this earlier in the show, Lakers aren't losing tonight. Did you hear me? I'm going to say it again. Lakers are not losing tonight. They're beating the Boston Celtics.
I hope so. I hope so. I certainly think they can. We've seen them play against Miami, and they beat a good Miami team. But I think when it comes to the Lakers right now without LeBron James, the question is, are they going to win tonight? The answer is always, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what they roll out tonight. Can they? Sure. Can they get tattooed? Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, when Minnesota tattoos you, when Oklahoma City beat you twice, we got this one, that's out the window. If they come back and win five or six in a row and look pretty good, then we can start saying, oh, they're going to get this one. I want to go back to LeBron because –
yeah, based off of nothing, Lakers are winning tonight.
I wonder how many games LeBron plays before I stop holding my breath, like, okay, is he okay? Is he okay? Is he okay? Because if you get through, because the scariest part of all would be, let's say he comes back, he plays three or four games, he goes down again. Then it's like, this feels like something that's going to keep popping up over. But if he comes in and plays 15, 20 games, and then you kind of stop thinking about it, that's kind of, unfortunately, with LeBron at this point in his career, it's not, can he still play? Everybody knows he can still play at a super high level. The question is, can they not, burn him down to nothing before the postseason starts? Because the way that they've looked, they absolutely have to have him, which means they're going to ask a lot of him when he comes back.
But, Trav, it's funny when you put it in that perspective. There are a lot of times I have that. I have those feelings with AD, and it has nothing to do with age.
With his health, you mean?
Yeah, there are times I watch Anthony Davis and, oh, no, he's holding this, or no, he's holding that, or, oh, he's down and he's – clutching his knee or something along those lines. I get it on the LeBron piece because it's such a different, unique piece because he's got so much mileage on him. But you really kind of feel the same way about both of those players. Like Russ, I'm not surprised if Russ plays 80 games this year. Like Russell Westbrook, that's just one thing. He is. And listen, I know guards are going to be different than big men and blah, blah. You can kind of go through all the different – some of the reasoning for it. But the piece about will you hold your breath with LeBron – I think it's fair at this stage of his career to just that his body's just different. He's still human. He's LeBron James. He's accomplished what he's already accomplished at this stage of his career to still be putting on that type of mileage. I think it is in the back of your mind in every game. How can it not be? You know what I mean? As much as we don't want it to be, I think that's just natural coming to this much mileage over the course of your career.
I think injuries are afraid of Russell Westbrook. They don't want to snap. We'll go over here. We'll just go. We'll twist it.
That's awesome.
I'm not messing with Russ. That's a very serious man. I'm not going towards that part of the gym. I'll just leave him alone. He can play 82 games a year. We'll just leave him over there by himself. He's pretty intimidating guy. All right, it's time for the dump. Coming up next, it's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
T-Raj, I don't know how you get when you hear old calls like that. It's funny. For me, you know, Chick Hearn, anytime I hear Chick, he's kind of like takes me back, right? Even Chick and Stu. Even sure. Now, listening to Stu Lance, obviously Billy Mack and Stu, but it just takes you back. So that call, it's when I hear a call like that, it's different than when I hear Chick calling Shaq or Chick calling Kobe or Chick calling some of these other, you know, the more recent players after that 80s Showtime era. But how can we not kind of reminisce Lakers Celtics, and you got that one tonight?
No, it just makes you feel good all over, right? Mm-hmm. It's the opposite of the sandwich. It just makes you feel good from the inside out. It just you hear that voice. You think of that moment in Lakers history, and it just makes you feel good all over. Same thing with Vin Scully calls, whether it's, you know, Kirk Gibson's home run or Sandy Koufax's perfect game. You just feel fantastic, and that's certainly one of them.
They got some work to salute. You already put out the tweet?
I did. I have not. Let me take a quick peek, see if I've gotten any responses. I put out the jacket, put the picture up there. Somebody's already saying I'd look like I was wearing a tablecloth at a pizza place, so that's a good start. We'll see what we can. I'm hoping for somebody to say, "Yeah, Trav, definitely give that a shot." So we will see. I like it. I tagged Perk in it, so we'll see how that goes. And maybe by Monday we'll have an answer. Maybe Perk will hit me back and say, "Hey, let me hook you up with my guy." You never know how it's going to go. But right now, let's go to the dump. All right, speaking of iconic calls, here's another one. Is this day in 1982, Cal versus Stanford, the band is on the field.
Unreal.
Of course, I think everybody knows, but Stanford kicks off, and the Stanford fans pour onto the field. The band is on the field. Cal has about 37 laterals to end up with the ball in the end zone, and the guy that goes in absolutely demolishes a trombone player in the end zone. It's just an extraordinary moment.
Can you imagine just the referee coming out right after that and saying, we have a holding on the on the offense, 10-yard penalty. We're going to replay. How many years ago was this?
1982. So we're closing in on 40 years. Yeah,
that's right. 1982. So it's funny because we played a Chick Hearn call, and that Chick Hearn call is going to connect to me. It's going to connect to a lot of people in Los Angeles,
sure.
Right? A lot of Laker fans. There are certain iconic calls you can have zero connection with. I don't care who wins between Cal and Stanford. I'm not paying attention to that. There are certain calls that you have absolutely no affiliation with. And when you hear them, like listening to that broadcaster call that final, he couldn't get the words out of his mouth. You know what I mean? Like that. There's certain times in sports where you run into moments like that. Of course, that's one of the most iconic ones.
So speaking of iconic, I still think, and we've played a couple of good ones from Chick today. We know the Kirk Gibson in the year of the improbable, the impossible has happened. Mm-hmm. We've played a bunch of those, but take all the sports, all the moments, all the things. I don't know if anything beats Al Michaels in 1980. Every single time the hairs on my back, my neck stand up. Just because of the political situation in the world at the time, because they were such incredible underdogs, because it was college guys. It wasn't like a bunch of NHL guys went in there and beat a good team. Nobody knew who those guys were heading into that tournament. And then you talk about a perfect call at the perfect moment. Al Michaels just absolutely nailed it. How about this? Speaking in our line of work, in Philadelphia, a sports radio caller stayed on the line despite being involved in a hit-and-run accident because he wanted to let the world know how much he hated Ben Simmons.
Is that, that not okay?
That is the most Philly thing I've ever heard in my life.
I was going to say, is that just an incredible Philly thing? but it's also how many times you have listeners where you know we have a call screen in front of us.
Uh-huh.
So for me, the screen to my right, it will show okay, you got X amount of callers that are waiting on hold, and then there's a bar that just says how long they've been on hold for: 30 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour and a half. I respect that this dude said, no, I'm on. Like, I just waited 50 minutes to get on. I mean, I'll figure that other stuff out in a second here. I'm on hold for this long. I'm going to continue that Ben Simmons needs to get back here. I mean, I love how this guy wanted to actually break it down. You got to love it.
It's the most Philly thing ever.
Yeah,
that
it is.
No, I don't care. Emily, do you know the answer? Was he and did someone hit him? Did he hit someone else? Do we know the details of this?
I am not sure the details about this. I saw a headline and then I read a little bit, but not the details.
Because here's the thing I'm hoping that happened. I don't know if this is, but I kind of hope he was the one that caused the accident. And the cops showed up to take him away. And he's like, no. I need to finish this call so people know that Ben Simmons sucks.
He has his AirPods on. He's like, no, it's fine. You guys do whatever you guys got to do. I'm gonna
and the cops excuse
call.
That though because they're the cops in Philly. They don't like Ben Simmons either.
Yeah, they understood. Yeah, they understood where he was coming from.
I think
from.
The list of people that like Ben Simmons includes Alan Sliwa and personal friends of Ben Simmons. I think that's the
Michael's
list
with me. Michael and Ben Simmons' family. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
Mr. and Mrs. Simmons, Michael Thompson, Alan Sliwa. The New Orleans Pelicans, this is not good. The New Orleans Pelicans have changed their culinary practices to support Zion Williamson's weight loss. Oh, my God. Really? It's gotten to the point where, hey, no one can have a donut because Zion's in the building. Really? That's what we're doing?
Sounds like my household.
Pathetic.
It is like, in New Orleans.
That's it.
Yeah, no more etouffee or fried shrimp po' boys, which are delicious, right? Red beans and rice. I get it. I like that stuff too, but how about this? They're paying you millions of dollars. Maybe you have a salad. I don't know.
Don't get me started on this. I mean, this is... It's for the dude to get to north 300 as far as weight. It was reported that that's where Zion was.
Didn't even report it. I have eyeballs.
Trav, I clocked him at 294. Trav, to have every resource in front of you, every resource. What do you need? You need a nutritionist. You need a chef. You need a motivational speaker. Whatever the hell you need. You need a trainer. We got it. It's right in front of you. You don't have to start worrying about other people's diet to get Zion to do what he needs to do. That's up to Zion, nobody else.
Yeah, no, that's a bad look. That is a bad look that he's in such that he if there's, you know, gumbo in the building, he can't not eat it. That's a problem. That's a really bad look. I'm doing this one for you, Emily. I know that this is one of your favorites. National Treasure came out this day in 2004. You are the National Treasure fan on this show, right?
That was the Declaration of Independence.
I am obsessed with National Treasure. National Treasure twice in theaters when I was a kid. I went once with my family and once by myself. And I was like probably like I was 8 years old at this time. But I was I'm so convinced I love this movie.
Have you seen it, Al?
No idea.
It was on cable one night or whatever. I think TNT plays it every 20 minutes. I think they have it on. It's not bad. It's one of those things that's kind of cool and funky, and he keeps chasing the clues. And I don't know if it's on the list of all-time great cinema,
Cage did The Rock. He was The Rock, right?
I mean, yeah, Dr. Stanley Goodspeed.
Yeah, after The Rock, it was like, you can't get a better performance out of this.
I lived in Philly for a short bit, and they filmed a lot of the movie there, and it was literally the best time of my life. Just took everyone on National Treasure tours. It was great.
Dr. Stanley Goodspeed from The Rock. That's the worst name in the history of movies along the way. Selena, I'll be back on Monday. How do people get the pod if they didn't get a chance to hear it live, Selena?
ESPN app or on iTunes. Just search Travis and Sliwa. Get the full 3 hours from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Back, baby. My stomach is good. The weekend is starting, and the party is about to get going. Mason and Ireland's next. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.